Everything keeps changing.
Transitory life from homeland. I have Patty Eagle Lord Bentley sitting in the studio with me. Hi.
Hi.
Ah, see, there she is. I have you on mic 2 and 3 because I want, you know, rich sound.
All right.
So you're here because of Asphalt Jungle Shorts, and this is a new, like, is this the first time you've done in both Kitchener and Waterloo?
Yes.
Okay.
And the last time I do it at the same time in Kitchener and Waterloo.
Okay, so for people that, just in case people are tuning in, they don't know what this is, can you tell them what Asphalt Jungle Shorts is, why it's different?
Oh, it's different. It's a series of plays. This year we have our highest number. There's 19 pieces, 19. You start at the box office, which is in a car, and you're led through the streets and alleys and cafes, and of course you end up in a bar because that seems civilized. And the pieces are performed where they were meant to be. So if a play is written in a bookstore, that's where you'll go see the play. And the shortest piece is about 45 seconds and the longest piece is about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow, okay. I know there's a lot of people involved in, I like to call it AJS. So how many, I've got two sets of questions here. How many plays do you actually have?
19
pieces. 19 plays, yeah. Okay. And where are all the, where are all the playwrights from?
The furthest away this year is an amazing rapper, poet from England, and her name is Kate Tempest. Amazing. And we have, Flushing Productions has a playwrights collective called Urban Scrawlers.
Mm-hmm.
And several of the pieces were developed there. So I'm really happy to say that I think 7 of the pieces are from local playwrights.
That's really good too.
Yeah. And we have I get submissions from all over the world, but there are certain people, Mark Harvey Levine, who lives in San Diego, and he's had a lot of pieces in our show because he's got the knack for writing the way we want it. I've often got pieces that are not the knack for what we do. My favorite, I think, was a full-length play set in 1812 in a farmhouse in Iowa.
Where are you going to put that?
I had to write her back and say, you know, did you read the submission thing?
No, that won't work for this particular type of theater.
No.
How long does it... I have all kinds of questions here. For Waterloo, how long does it take... I'm going to get into this. The logistics of putting this on. How long does it take you to find the locales? Like, this time around you did Waterloo, so how long did it take you to get all the permission and all that kind of... Like, take me on a tour of the Waterloo show that you just did.
Oh, I can do that, sort of, without giving away Kitchener, because the pieces are the same, but
okay.
The locations are obviously different.
Yeah.
We had a piece on a fire escape. Only police came once with the paddy wagon, so that was good. That was one of my board members. Kathy Must introduced me to John Turvey, who's kind of a maker-shaker in Waterloo.
I think he's on the council, isn't he?
Yeah, it was his fire escape.
Oh, okay.
So, and wonderful, like, meeting people. Waterloo was amazing, I gotta say.
Yeah.
It's out of my comfort zone. You know, I'm downtown Kitchener. I can name you every cubby hole, every weird little crook, nanny, cranny nook, and alley, and Waterloo. I just had to keep walking to familiarize. I was always a block off. I had the Button Factory in my head, a
mm-hmm.
block further than it was. And so we did a piece in the Button Factory.
Yeah, and that's a cool space.
It was a good space. The company that rents the stores out in the Waterloo Square gave us one of their stores. this was amazing for us because we have had dressing rooms in the stupidest places. And this was an empty store with the front area, and then the back room had three real change rooms.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
Mirrors and carpet, and like it was really great this week and next week. Not so good. But Waterloo was incredible. The audiences were incredible. It's a whole different vibe downtown Kitchener to uptown Waterloo.
Yeah.
It really is. It's it was very different there. And so it was great. I'm trying to think of where else. We do a lot of we did a lot of rearranging because someone hammering.
I know. I used to, you know, at the old studio, which was right at Maxwell's Music House, the classroom was right next to the wall, so I'd have a drummer accompanying me during the whole radio show. So whatever that is, thanks. You know, a nice little. I thought, well, this is like a nice little percussion accompaniment we've got all of a sudden. I don't know.
It's a new thing in radio.
Yeah,
I've heard about
yes,
it.
Yes, it's kind of apropos because this is Asphalt Jungle Shorts, and anything can happen. So
totally.
this is like radio theater. Anyway. Do continue. Sorry about that interruption.
No worries. We had a piece at the atrium, which was really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm so not Waterloo savvy, and we set a piece on the police station stairs. It didn't say police or anything.
On Princess Street, right around where
on Herb Street.
Okay,
right there.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, this is a great old building. We'll do it here. So, and we finished up at the Hoother, and again, they were wonderful to us, and there's drinks there, so that
yeah,
was
and that's
good.
Always that's always fun.
Yeah.
How many people are involved? How many actors do you have? Are there new? Like you probably have the regulars, I'm guessing. And how many new? Do you have new
Five.
Additions?
Five.
Okay.
That's a lot. According to our marketing guy, Nick Cumming, there are 13.7 actors.
13.7?
Yeah.
All ages?
Yes, all ages. All ages. And the new kids are fantastic. It's been really fun working with them.
Where are they from? The university?
Different
theater companies?
Yeah,
you guys,
from youth theater,
yeah.
Kind of growing up.
Yeah.
Now they can do plays with bad words in them.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some of the plays themselves. How many did you write, and how many are you directing, and are you in any of them as well?
Oh boy,
I know that's a loaded question.
I wrote the go round piece. We usually kind of have to write it, and then I looked at our finished roster, and it was all funny. Absurd funny, dark funny, but funny. And there was not one sort of tender moment in it. So we kind of worked together. So I sent around a bunch of monologues, short ones, and they liked the one that I wrote, so that one went in. I directed 9 pieces, and we've just had something happened on the last week, so I think I may have to do a 10-minute monologue, which scares me, but the younger girls in the cast are too young.
To do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not meant for that age. So it's called Fire Trucking for Furniture.
I saw that. There's some interesting titles here. Yes, Fire Trucking for Furniture is there. See, you can say the word because you're an art form, but I can't because I'm the announcer.
I can say fucking?
Yeah, see, you just said it. There's Orchestral Town,
Oh, my favorite title is Portrait of an Artist from the Perspective of His Pairs.
Ah, okay.
That's my favorite title.
Who else is going to be performing in this that people would know?
Arlene Thomas, Roger Sumner, Katie Smith, Tracy Kenyon, Kate Gregg, John Fielding, Ryan Bassett, Samantha Poulsen, Ian McKellar, Jane, blah, 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 blah.
Jane,
and Caitlin, Caitlin, da-ra-ra-ra-ra.
You can see them all on the website, actually. Is Sam, Sam Liam, is he acting in this, or
not
is he
this one. He
not
was
this
in
one.
Asphalt Jungle Hot Pants.
Oh, okay.
And,
that's
you
her
know,
son.
You
I
know when
Sam
he
Liam.
Was little, like,
yeah.
He came out of the womb looking for the stage.
Yeah.
It's that June thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And he was in Hot Pants, and he was really good. He's like the stage manager, assistant stage manager, go around, run around guy. One year we had him, because some people are changing behind bushes, really, literally.
Yeah.
And one year we had him dressed up as a street guy, and we borrowed the Central Meat, what is it called? Central Fresh Market.
Right,
loaned
yeah.
us a shopping cart, and we had all the costumes and stuff piled in there, and people kept wanting to save him through the night.
What's the weirdest audience reaction you've ever had? Do people actually realize that it's theater at times?
Well, I think why I love this kind of theater is that everything that you see is theater.
There's a couple
stories I could share with you that are really funny. Like, okay, one time this guy is standing across the street with bleached white hair, and he's got two guys on either side of him looking really embarrassed to be standing there. And he's standing on the corner playing air guitar, singing, Elvis is dead, Elvis is dead, why don't you buy my CD instead? And the audience is all watching, and they clap, and we had no idea who he was. Another time, the audience, and this was crowded, because we only take 50. After 50, it gets unmanageable.
Yeah,
we call around the go-round piece herding cats, because that's what it is like.
That's true.
So they're walking down Ontario Street, and two policemen are arresting a man. So they all stop to watch. And at that point, Bruce Wolf and Mick Cumming were the go-round guys. And they're standing, because I always say, whatever happens, let it happen, because it's usually fun. And so they stood, and the audience is watching the police arrest the guy, and then they get a little rough, and then they're not sure, so they look over at the guys with their eyebrows raised, like, you know, this is a play, right? And the guys look over, shake their head, no. And to watch 60 people skulk away from this scene was really fun. And we had one play that a guy dropped a ring down the grate in the sidewalk beside the city hall.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the audience moved on to watch a blind woman pee and then her dog pee. That was the year of spit and pee. And then they come back and they're all standing on this grate and they're always expectant, like, where is it going to happen? Is it the guy beside me? And you hear these voices and the actors are 25 feet below the sidewalk. Under the grate.
Underneath
you had to
grate.
Watch through the grate in the sidewalk to see the rest of the play. And then there were some brave people laying on the grate to see really good, but I've seen what people do through that grate, so
I know the grate. That's a great grate.
Yeah.
To do a show. To do something like that. What was I going to... Oh, okay, this is happening this weekend.
This weekend and next weekend.
Okay. Oh, okay, so it's 3 weeks. So it was in Waterloo one weekend, and then the next 2 weeks it's in Kitchener.
You betcha.
Oh, okay. So it starts off at Cavabin, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, how does the ticketing work and all
How's
that kind of stuff?
Well, you can send an email to tickets@flushinc.net, or you can go on the website, flushinc.net, and it'll have all the information there. Basically, we do it by reserve because we put the audience in lanyards, little plastic things where we slide the tickets in. And you just reserve the tickets. Now, we have something really interesting that actually happens before the show starts, and it's taking a lot longer than we anticipated. So the audience is really smart to get there about 7:30 because it's taking a while to get. I can't tell you.
Okay, no.
The box office is in a car,
right?
Parked beside the cabine, and it'll say, you know, box office, and that'll be your cue that's what it is, and that's where you get the tickets. And this show is not recommended for kids under 16.
Yeah.
Because we say bad words,
yeah.
And we have some interesting situations that they wouldn't find quite as interesting.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
This is a weird one, but this is a kind of show where a lot of people come on their own. And it's really, really cool to do that, because by the end of the night, I mean, you have the whole city downtown as your backdrop. It's just an incredible set. I remember when Majdi saw the show the first time, Majdi from Empty Space,
right.
She said, "It was the first time I really recognized the downtown." But it's true. It's like, it's gritty, and there are parts of it that are not savory, but you know, hey, that's what we're all made of. And so it's a really cool thing to come by yourself. Instead of struggling around looking to see if you can get someone to go with you, be brave and come by yourself, and you'll have like 49 friends by the end of the night.
Yeah, you're not really by yourself, so that's kind of cool.
And there's this sort of connection that the audience makes with each other, for sure.
This is, what number is this?
This is 8.
Number 8.
Except for our offshoot of Hot Pants and Asphalt Jungle Later Hosen.
Oh yeah, is that around Oktoberfest
time?
Yeah, that would be good.
We want to do an Asphalt Jungle Snow Pants, just to say we did.
Well, you could. I mean, there's lots of, with the snow as an extra added prop, that might be kind of funny. But how have you, because you kind of instigated this thing, how have you seen it change over the years?
We talked about this the other day, and I think that the first group of people that were on board for this, I mean, I took this idea to the city of Kitchener, Brian Scott specifically.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me and said, "Oh my God, we've wanted to do this, something like this. Where have you been?" And I said, "On Wellington Street." And they have been on board from day one. And, you know, if you don't have someone that will facilitate your scathingly brilliant ideas.
I wonder if I heard that line before.
When you were running away from me. Which is what most people do.
It's from a Hayley Mills movie. It's from The Trouble with Angels.
Got the most scathingly brilliant idea.
That's right. Anyway.
So, initially, the first one, we set up really well, and we haven't had to change how we structure, how we do things very much. So in that sense, it hasn't changed much at all. The idea of branching out, going to different cities, has always been on our mind. It's just getting the logistics to do that. We've had several cities, including a few in the States.
That is cool. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, because I was hoping I could get somebody on the show to talk about this, because I saw it all on Facebook, Unhinged.
Yeah.
That is like, I thought, oh my God, these people are living this is a nightmare. How did this all come to be?
Another one of my ideas, and I literally, 2 weeks before we were doing Unhinged, I thought, I was laying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning going, Pia, we could do that. I could do that in 2 weeks. I can make that happen. And I just, you know, it's like that scene in Willow where he's fighting everything, and then he like thinks he's done, and he turns around, he sees a two-headed monster, and he does this sigh, and then he jumps, right?
Yeah.
That's what my life feels like. And so Unhinged is a two-week festival, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2 weeks, where we produce plays that are dark and dangerous, and the plays that you're afraid to write, and plays that maybe you're not sure you want to see, because there's a place for those. And we had 3 pieces in the show this year, a piece of mine called Haunting the Penumbra, Nick's Psycho's Cross, which is actually going to the London Festival, Fringe Festival, it's opening there.
Oh, cool.
And The Fear Project, which I co-directed. And then at the last minute, I had this idea. And what we did was, on midnight on the first Friday, we sent 7 playwrights out to really disturbing places with their laptops. Or one guy had like a paper and a pencil, like a pad, and I don't even think I could write like that anymore. And we gave them 24 hours in the space to write a 10-minute piece and hone it. Midnight on Saturday night, we all met again in the bar, because that's where you should meet. And we read the plays. I handed them to directors. We cast them right there, and we had 6 days to get them in shape. And on the last night of the festival, all the plays were staged. Some of them with scripts, because that's a lot to ask people in 6 days who have real jobs. And some were not. And they were all good. They were all very different. Very different.
Yeah, I can
from
imagine.
From Maroki Tong's physical theater piece to Nick's Unicorn Apocalypse, which made me laugh and made other people shudder. But, next year, I hope to... I really would like the nice police people to let me put someone in a cell for the 24 hours to write.
I was going to say, like, how did you get permits and stuff like that for these places? Did it take a while?
Well, we're insured, right?
Yeah.
We kind of have to be.
And they
got kicked out of one place. I just went to bring them coffee at like 3 or 4 in the morning as they were just about to get ousted, so I rescued them. That was really hard. I had to lay out. The city owns this little teeny chapel built in 18-something out on Bloomingdale Road in the cemetery.
Yeah.
I really wanted to put someone there, but I thought, okay, I'm really not trying to have a psychotic break happen, just a good play.
Yeah.
So I had to lay it out.
That would freak somebody out. But I guess your writing, the process would change.
Yeah.
Because you have all these extra elements around you, whether you want them or not. So your imagination probably goes crazy, I would think.
Coral, I would like to challenge you to do that this year.
Oh, God.
And I've done it on air, so it's out there, and everybody will remind you. I think that would be great.
I do have a piece that I wrote a couple of years ago, and I thought, what am I going to do with this? Anyway, yeah. It is, writers are, being a writer as well, it's a weird process. It's like writing is, it's like an addiction. It's like writing is hell. It's hell. You know, when I'm ever under deadline, no matter what I'm working on, it's like, and then you get it on paper and then you have to cull it down and cull it down and cull it down and cull it down. It's like a sauce.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you pare it down because, with some of the stories I do, you only have 750 words max, they tell you, and that's it. That's all you got. So you gotta, you know, make sure every word and all this kind of stuff. So
it's a lot easier. You don't even know what you have.
No, that's true.
Like,
you really don't. It's like describing
sculpture to somebody. Play isn't meant to be a bunch of words on a piece of paper.
No, it's what you put on its feet.
So you can't, you don't really know what you have until you hear it read.
Yeah, that's
and you
true.
Can't, it's not, like, I read out loud when I'm writing, which is really scary for anybody walking by the open window.
Yeah.
Really scary.
I think you need to do that when you write, because then you get a better idea yourself of the flow of it.
There's a meter to playwriting.
Yeah.
It's not structured. But I can tell you, that sentence has two beats too many. I don't know where
or
that
too many words.
Right,
yeah, too many words.
Take that out.
Yeah, that is really cool. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, there is something else I wanted to talk about. And through you, I'm probably going to be interviewing this guy, I hope, sometime soon. I have to get a hold of him. And that's Eric and his book, The Unexploded Boar, which I read an excerpt from. And it just blew my mind. So maybe you'd like to expand on this. Go ahead.
I'm halfway through the book. and I just started it this morning.
Wow.
And he sent me a copy, and it was just neat because he wrote nice things on it, because they have to do that. Here's the interesting thing about this book is we hooked up back on Facebook. Not hooked up, but connected back on Facebook, and then one night he said, I sent a few chapters of the book. Like, he had sent me some chapters to read. I read the first chapter. I was like, oh my god,
yeah, it's great.
Oh my god, it's so dark and gritty and brutally honest and poetic and beautiful. It's like everything I love about life is just crammed into this book. And I said, keep writing. And then one night he said, I sent it to, I think it's Rand McNally has a subsidiary publisher in South Africa, and you have to have been born in South Africa to send a submission there. And he was born in Namibia, so he said, "Oh, I sent it. Isn't that stupid?" Because he's actually quite
shy. Sort of. Well, not shy. That's not the word I'm looking for.
Modest.
Yeah, that's it. Modest.
And I mean, I knew him pretty well back then, Coral. Remember way back then?
I do,
and,
yes.
And I, like, I heard these stories from him. A little different. Anyway, so within, to make a long story short, within 3 weeks, he had a contract on his desk. This never happens in the publishing world.
Mm-mm.
And then he didn't know what to do. And I have, I can't say who, but a famous writer in the States who I am, this is the most interesting man I've never met. And I connected with him, and then I was in the middle going back and forth between him and Eric, how to get through the contract, and Eric would say, "Could I get a car?" And I would ask, "Can you get a car?" And he'd say, "No." I'd say, "No." And this guy, who's had over 100 books published, has said he's never heard of that. That in 3 weeks, and he got the contract sent out, and within, I don't know, 2 weeks, he ended up with leukemia. And
oh yeah,
that story, I've heard that story, and I'm not going to talk about it because
no.
I think that's his third or fourth book.
Probably
Reckoning. By the time, unbelievable experience, unbelievable that happened in Canada. Eric is from South Africa. He was a rising, beautiful rock star kind of image. They talk about that a lot. He never talked about that. So that was, I read that in the book. Oh. And and he got into some trouble and ended up, it was during apartheid.
Right.
And so he ended up in prison there.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is a look at this gritty, weird 1970s. He had a velvet suit with bell bottoms and the jacket and crazy life, crazy life. But it's so wrought with honesty and introspection. And the thing that haunted me the most was when he said, I was so, and this is not how he said it because he says it way more eloquently, I was so beautiful on the outside. People loved me because I was young and beautiful with my white, long, flowing hair. But I wished that I was, like, ugly and hunchbacked and deformed so that people could see what I was really like inside. And when I knew him, I bought him to the back door.
I
and
remember.
That was a huge thing because he played in a punk band.
Called
and
the,
he had no idea there was a place like that in Kitchener. He was, I knew how dark and broody he was, but you know, the whole time I knew him, I never asked him. Like, it just felt untouchable to me. There's just, do you want to dive into that can of worms without a fishing rod, you know?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
The book is incredible. It's sex and drugs and prison
and
rock and
roll,
all those things go together.
Yeah, yeah.
And his eventual, how he got away was amazing. I bet movie. They're saying in South Africa, cult classic.
That's great. That's really good. Well, I hope I get a chance to chat with him. Do you have a piece of music in mind?
Because
I can just go to...
I do.
Technology.
Do you know what song I love that people don't know, so I keep pushing it?
What is it?
You Look Like Rain by Morphine.
Let's see if I can find it.
You will.
Let me see if I can find it. Keep talking.
And then you can all thank me for... The lead singer died, which is probably why the band isn't so popular now.
Morphine.
But
what's the name of the song?
You Look Like Rain.
Okay, hold
this
on.
This guy had dyslexia, whoever wrote these lyrics.
Ha! I found it.
I found it.
Hold on a minute here. I got it. Technology. Okay, hold on a minute here. Bing. Okay, we got it. This is cool. Okay, Patty, this was so much fun. I'd like to thank you so much for dropping in. Don't forget, so it's the next 2 weekends in downtown Kitchener. So look for it. Go to Cava Bean. Go to the box office. Go to the website. What's the website? Quick.
Flushing.net.
Yoo-hoo. Okay. Here's Morphine, You Look Like Rain on Coral FM.
your mind and your experience called me. You have lived and your intelligence is sexy. I won't know what you got to say. I won't know what you got to say. I won't know what you got to say. I can tell you taste like the sky, 'cause you look like green. 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 You look like green.
Special thanks to my guest, Patty Gillard Benway. Don't forget, Asphalt Jungle Shorts happens this weekend and the weekend after next.